No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. A scripture scholar recently gave a talk in which he said that the plight of many of the psalmists in the Old Testament reminded him of an article on parenthood, in which the author divided all human beings into two categories. One, persons who believe that if you work hard enough, everything will eventually turn out all right. And two, persons who believe that life is simply a series of random disasters over which we have no control. And then with tongue in cheek, he added that all parents of teenagers fall into the second category. Now anyone who spends time at all with the Old Testament Psalms, of which we sing a psalm every single Eucharist, knows that many of the psalmists seem to fall into that category. So often their lives come across as if they were simply a series of random disasters. But the really striking thing about the book of Psalms is that although the psalmists are suffering very deeply, they never, ever lose hope. They describe so vividly how they're persecuted by their enemies, how they're tortured by physical illness, how they're tested by pain and loneliness in their lives, particularly in times of exile. But they never lose hope, because they are aware of the presence of the living God in their lives. They continue to sound a note of hope, even in the very midst of the worst of their sufferings. And what is even more important is that their kind of hope is never grounded on military might, nor on their own personal strength, nor on possession of material things, but rather in the presence of a living God in their lives. In the words of one of the Psalms, "In God alone my soul finds rest. The Lord is my strength and my salvation. He alone is the source of my hope." And then when we come to the New Testament, this whole message of hope is reinforced and expanded even more. You begin with the Gospel of Matthew, and the entire narrative of the Nativity story revolves about the one word, Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And then all through his entire Gospel, Matthew builds on this hope for the future, that what God is doing now is good news. He says, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." But then he says, "There also will be a tomorrow." Emmanuel, God is with us today and tomorrow. Now, as a Christian people, today, we need constantly to go on renewing our appreciation for this good news of the gift of hope that has been given to us with our faith. It is good, it is important, it is healing for all of us to know that whatever does happen to us, whether it's good or bad, with tomorrow, will always come a greater wholeness of life because of the Lord's continuing presence in all of the events of our daily life. In one of the comic strips of Peanuts, there's a baseball game going on, and little Lucy is playing out in center field. And the batter hits a fly ball in Lucy's direction, but she makes no effort whatever to catch it. She simply stands there, utterly motionless, with her arms folded, and the ball drops to the ground, right there in front of her. And Charlie Brown is so outraged, he runs out into the field to confront Lucy. And he demands to know why she did not catch the ball. And Lucy says, "I was having my quiet time." The quiet time, as we all know, is so important, essential in our growth, not only in the spirit, but in the total wholeness of our lives. There must be a moment set aside to pray, to meditate, to put our life into perspective. But there's also a time when we need to run and we need to go out and catch the ball. And the trouble is, sometimes we Christian people get our times mixed up. There are times when we are called upon to run, to act in a decisive, confident way because of the hope that we have that we can do what needs to be done. Because of the hope that we do have in the promises of the Lord to us, we, each of us, we are able to carry out our Christian ministry of loving service with real courage and strength, even though at times we walk through a dark valley. Always with a certain kind of knowledge from God that whatever the short-term consequences, every good seed that we sow ultimately is going to bear a rich harvest. And that will hold not only for whatever parents do for their children, or what teachers do for their students, but every single good thought that we have, every time we raise a hand to help anyone, the effect is everlasting. Someone, somewhere, somehow is touched. One of the most prominent movements in our time is called simply the theology of hope. And our hope theologians today, in their writings, are telling us that hope is the essence of our Christian faith. And that the secret of having hope is knowing of the presence of God in our lives. They are saying that we should think of God as being present in the future, as this mysterious spirit calling us toward himself. That you know that God is in your future now. That's what they are saying. That God already is out there, calling you, pulling you, inviting you, drawing you to himself. This mysterious magnetic presence. And that is a fascinating way of thinking of God. Not static, but dynamic. Attracting and drawing us every single moment of our lives. And that is precisely the whole point of today's gospel reading. No one can come to me unless the Father who sends me draws him. But then we ask, Does not this theological concern about God in the future rob today of its meaning? And the answer, of course, is that hope gives meaning to today. Take away the hope that God our Father is calling us and drawing us into the future. Take that away, and then today has no meaning for our lives. Take away that hope, and we become living absurdities. There is hope today, and there is hope for tomorrow. I am the bread of life. That is what Jesus assures us today. We walk by the bread of the Eucharist that we are given this afternoon. We are sustained, we are made strong, we are nourished. And we are able to feel, experience within us now that future life. We can feel, we can experience the living God calling us, pulling us, inviting us, drawing us closer into his own divine life now. Eternal life begins now, because the kingdom is within you now.